ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Let it be, everything's nice. Don't say anything bad to anybody. Just tolerate everything. It's like sometimes you see pictures of bogus Swami and they have a long beard. That's compulsory. That is the first sign of a bogus Swami. He must have a long beard. He's holding a flower and he's gazing into space, smiling. A sentimental smile. Which means that everything's okay, everything's nice. Yeah. Shanti. Everything's wonderful. This is all nonsense. Everything is peaceful, everything is nice, it's all nonsense. Tolerate everything, this is all nonsense. Why should you tolerate people that are going to birth and death repeatedly? Then why should that be tolerated? Why should you not speak to them? And if he doesn't listen, then you have to call him a rascal to wake him up. Just like a man may be walking on the edge of the mountain and he's looking up at the sky. Oh, the sky looks so nice. So he's walking and walking, but he's going to walk off the edge and kill himself. So someone else sees him, what should he do? Oh, don't disturb him. He's happy looking at the sky. No, he should call out, watch out! So the other man will say, hey, why are you disturbing me? Watching the sky, everything's nice, everything's wonderful. Watch out, you fool! You're going to fall off the edge of the cliff and kill yourself. So when he hears fool, what is he calling me a fool for? Why are you calling me a fool? Because you are a fool. Then you walk up the edge of the cliff. Wake up, look what you're doing. So that's what preaching means. Preaching doesn't mean, I'm okay, you're okay, everything's wonderful. Nothing is okay in this material. Yeah. Everything is wrong. Everything except the practice of Krishna consciousness is all wrong. It means simply one person is being envious of another person. Everyone is envious of everyone else. So this woman, she was saying, you should be compassionate. Prabhupada said, your compassion is like blowing on a boil. Has anyone had a boil? Who's had a boil? So is it very nice? Very painful. So if someone comes up and says, oh, how unlucky. Never mind, I'll blow. So does that help him? Just by blowing, it doesn't help him at all. It doesn't increase the pain, but it doesn't do anything to relieve it either. It's useless sympathy. So one who is really sympathetic, what will he do? He'll take you to the doctor. And the doctor will get out a very sharp knife and cut. And it's very painful. The boil is very painful. It's very painful. I also have plenty of good experience. But the cutting job is painful, but then all the pus is taken out, then it's cleaned up, then it can heal up. So Prabhupada was saying, if you have a boil, you don't blow on it, you have to cut it. So preaching means we have to see what is the reality. The reality is that we're all very much attached to this material world. Though we're chanting Hare Krishna ourselves, we're still floating in an illusion that we can be happy in this material world. It's not true. This is called illusion. You cannot be happy in this material world. Everyone has been trying to be happy for millions and millions of lifetimes. You have been trying, I have been trying, we've all been trying to be happy in this material world. We tried as cats, we tried as dogs, we tried as cockroaches, we tried as Brahma, we tried as Indra, we tried as Indra Gopa, the little germ, and now we're trying as whatever body we're in. Let me be happy. I'm enjoying my body. Let me enjoy my senses. You can never, never, never be happy. It is impossible. Even if you get everything in the universe, like Hiranyakashipu, you'll still be totally frustrated. So we have to discuss these things. Otherwise, if we artificially discuss so many different esoteric things, but we don't understand the basic things, then it's all meaningless. We should understand all the points of Vaishnava philosophy very carefully. And the first point is to understand that I am not this body. I cannot be happy by trying to enjoy this body. So I should give up this effort. Bhakti Rao Thakur says, Aham mama brahme brahmi bhove shoka bhoi. He says, because of thinking in terms of I, me and mine, everyone is wandering in this material world and enjoying, so-called enjoying. Lamentation and fear. We're all trying to be happy in this material world, but we don't get any happiness. All we get for all our hard endeavors is lamentation and fear. Lamentation means we wanted to do so many things in the past, but we couldn't do it. Or we did some things in the past, we had some sense enjoyment, now we can't get it. Now, therefore, we're lamenting. And fear. This is the world of fear. Why? We're in this material world because we have rejected Krishna's lotus feet. Therefore we have entered into the material world, the world of Maya. And what is the condition? Fear. Everyone is always afraid. We're afraid, ultimately we're afraid of death. Sometimes people say, I'm not afraid of death. They're lying. You bring one gun and test them. Now I'll shoot you. Three? No. Stool in their face. That's what happens at the time of death. Do you know that? First urine and stool out of fear. Aham mama abhiman ematrodham radha jiva nijiv vali jane monemo. So everyone is going throughout the material world and thinking, oh, this is mine. The bird is thinking, this is my nest and this is my wife and these are my children. The dog is thinking, this is my property, don't come here. You see the different birds. If any bird from a different group comes in their area, they'll chase him away. Prabhupada used to say this, immigrations and customs, they're just like dogs. Because he was regularly traveling from country to country. So all the time the immigration would check in. Why are you coming here? What do you want? Sometimes some different countries, they rejected Prabhupada and even they wouldn't allow him in the country. Flying in there, you have to go back. That happened at least twice to my knowledge.
What's
that? Prabhupada was saying they're just like dogs barking. Don't come here. This is my place. Everything belongs to Krishna. I'm the servant of Krishna. Then why are you chasing me? So people are thinking this belongs to me. This is my country. I am the boss. I am the king. I am the premier. But you may think I'm in control. You are not in control. You are not in control of anything. Some people even think they are God. God means the supreme controller. Some people have the audacity to claim I am God. But what are they controlling? Some foolish people, they do some so-called meditation on the mountain early in the morning. And when the sun starts to rise, they are thinking, I am making the sun rise. It's got nothing to do with them. Whether they're sitting there meditating or not, the sun is going to rise. But in their imagination only, they are thinking, I am making the sun rise. They're imagining they're controlling. What can you control? If you have to pass stool, you have to run to the bathroom. Can you control it? If you have toothache, can you control it? And you're thinking, I'm controlling. You may think, I am now the biggest man in Russia. I'm the big controller. Someone else will come. There were so many big, big bosses. Not now, but previously, so many people used to come to see the Lenin mausoleum. Do they still come? Probably they do. I know when myself and Prabhupada Vishwaswami came to Moscow in 1986, we saw big long lines of people standing in the cold weather to see Lenin's dead body. So Lenin's dead body is there, but where is his living soul? Who knows what a horrible place. But just like in France, even now they're so proud of Napoleon, who was a big rascal. He attacked different countries, just like a bandit. A bandit runs around and attacks people. But if he does it in the name of the country, then everyone thinks, oh, how wonderful. So in France, there's a saying that France is Napoleon and Napoleon is France. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada, when he went there, he said, well, France is here, but where is Napoleon? Is there saying that France is Napoleon, but where is Napoleon? No saying. He may be a very, very big man in this life and completely insignificant in the next. Just like Prabhupada was told once, and he confirmed one piece of information. That one man in Sweden had two dogs. One of them was previously the Prime Minister of India. He had been such a big famous man. Even now people respect him. What a great visionary leader. He has given the vision for India to come into the modern world, to give up her own culture and build factories and dams and go to hell. So such a big man, famous all over the world, making political maneuvers, throwing half the country away so that he can become Prime Minister of India, letting Pakistan be separated. Mm-hmm. Cheating others. Such a big, intelligent, famous man. Sure. Now what is his position? Sitting at the gate of some man. And when anyone comes, woof, woof, that's it. Same business. Dog is barking at others, politician is barking at others. You get what you want. If you want to bark at others...
Хочешь лаять с другими, будешь либо премьер-министром, либо большой собакой. Большой разница, да.
So people are thinking, this is mine. William Pitt, the elder, I think, was one of the prime ministers of England. A few things I remember from all the years I sat in school. So he said, when he was dying, he said, my country, how I leave my country. Although his political opponent said that what he actually said at his time of death was, I would like one of Burton's meat pies. Alright, never mind. Just one piece of nonsense against the moment. Anyway, he's thinking, my country, how I leave my country. So he's thinking that without me, the country will not go on. That I am looking after all the affairs of the country. So anyway, he died, and the country went on. People got up in the morning and went about their daily affairs. And after that, actually, England became a big imperial power. But everyone's thinking that without my presence, nothing can go on. A man dies and thinks, oh, my family, how will they go on without me? They already know very well how they're going to go on. Even before he left the body, they're already fighting over who's going to get the money. They've already made their plan. So this, what do we have in this material world? We're thinking, I have got this house. This is my house. This is my property. This is my country. But actually, we don't have anything. You come into this world, what do you have? You don't even have a shirt on your body. You come naked. You come into this world with nothing. And when you leave, when you're dragged away by the Yamadutas, what can you bring with you? You may have hundreds and thousands of dollars. But when you die like a beggar on the spot. One cent can you bring with you? If you think, just like the pharaohs in Egypt, they used to get buried with gold and so many different things. They're thinking that they will enjoy in the next life. Foolish. Completely foolish. When they opened up these pyramids, they find all these things are still there. They couldn't take it with them. The only thing you take with you is your sinful, the effects of your sinful and pious intellect. The only thing you take with you is this abhiman. I am the body. Though you've suffered so much due to attachment to this body, you simply want to get another material body to fulfill your material desires. The material desires are never fulfilled. Just different varieties of material desires carries us on, life after life, birth after birth. Different varieties means there's not much variety. We're thinking we shall enjoy variety. But what is there to enjoy? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The variety is, sometimes you do it as a dog, sometimes as a cat, sometimes as a worm, sometimes as a demigod. This is the variety. Punapunash charvata charvananam. Simply chewing the chew. And you're thinking, this is mine. God is thinking, this is my territory. The world is thinking, this is my territory. We may be thinking, this is my guilt. Attachment. But what do we have? The only thing we have is our attachment. We don't have anything else. Actually, it belongs to us. Attachment carries us from body to body to body. False attachment. False attachment because we don't actually own anything. It's simply an illusion that we own anything. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Shei abhimane ami samsari pariya. Because of this false ego, thinking that these things belong to me, I've fallen in this material world. The material world is compared to a great ocean. Sometimes the material world is compared to an ocean, sometimes to a blazing fire. Bhava Sindhu means the ocean of repeated birth and death. Hey, ask him to leave the window open and get some nice fresh air. So in this ocean of material life, our situation is habudubukai, means maybe you see someone who can't swim properly. Going like this. Sometimes they come up, breathe some air. Then they go down again, struggling and struggling and put their head Sometimes they put their head up to breathe and water comes in, and they're coughing and spluttering and I'm going to drown. This is called habudubukawa. This is our position in the material world. That some we're struggling. Sometimes we get a little breath of air and we think this is very nice. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the example that material life is like there's one kind of punishment where someone who has done some crime, criminal, is punished in this way. He's tied up and put underwater and he's kept there. And when he's just about to die from suffocation, you drown him and then pull him up. And he goes, put him down again. So they do this a few times. So it's simply intense suffering. He's going to die, he feels like his brain's going to burst. When they pull him up, so wonderful. So that is material happiness. Material happiness means when you get a little relief from the suffering, this is considered great happiness. That is not happiness. What we take as happiness, that is simply slight relief from distress. And then again, intense distress. We say happiness and distress in this material world. Actually, it's only distress and distress. It means extreme suffering and extreme suffering. That's all. But because one kind of suffering is a little less than the other, we take this as happiness. Tomar abhoy pade loya sharan. Ajiyani Parilam Atmanivedam. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching the path of sanity. As long as we're trying to enjoy this material world, it's simply insanity. Just imagine, you have the choice. You can live in Vaikuntha and dance with Krishna. Or you can come to this material world and be beaten with a stick constantly. So what will you do? What kind of madness is it to choose this material world? There's one kind of person they're called masochists.
Есть такие люди, их называют мазохистами.
So they take pleasure in giving pain to themselves.
Они наслаждаются, принося себе боль.
They think it's something very enjoyable to stick pins in their own body or something crazy like that. Or they get pleasure in giving pain to others, eating animals or something like that. So these are all insane conditions. Everyone in this material world is insane. You must know that story. Prabhupada told that many times. There was one court case in which one man was accused of murder. So it was quite clear that he had killed the other person. But his defense lawyer thought, all right, let's plead innocence on the grounds of insanity. So the judge agreed that the accused could be examined by a psychiatrist. So the psychiatrist came back with the report that, yes, I've examined this man and he's definitely insane. But there's something else I must tell you, that I've examined thousands and thousands of people. As far as I can see, everybody in this world is insane. So this man is also insane. If you want, you can release him on those words. So actually everyone is insane. Nidam pramatta kuri kuri karma yad indriya pritiya apinoti na sadhuman yaya atmanaya asanna pikreshana asadena. This is the analysis of Rishabdev. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. People are very anxious to hear the five chapters of Bhagavatam which deal with the Rasleela. Why don't they listen to this? Shabdev's analysis of material life.
Analysis.
He says that everyone in this material world is insane. Not just an opinion, it's a fact. Why? Because they all perform simple activities. What for the sake of sense gratification. And what is the result of those simple activities for sense gratification? They simply get one body after another, to suffer again and again and again. This is insanity. So everyone is insane. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us how to become sane. This material world is the world of fear. But Krishna, his name is Abhayachara, the fearless lotus feet. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Tomar Abhay Pade Loya Sharam. Now, I'm taking shelter of your fearless lotus feet. It's also described in Srimad Bhagavatam that this material world is very dangerous place. But one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna is
free from all dangers.
Samashrita ye bhakta palla bhakta vang mahat padam punya yasho murare bhavam vadya vatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam nate isham. This is very nice poetry for the rest of Mr. Krishna. The meaning is that this material world is a place of great danger. Danger at every step. You don't know what's going to happen. Any step there may be some danger. You may just be walking along, or you may just be sitting in your home, no warning. Or you may just be walking along the road, all of a sudden, earthquake. Just like in Maharashtra in India about a year ago, all the people were sleeping, 4 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, from their peaceful sleep, they woke up to die. The whole earth shook, and they opened up. Earthquakes. And people fell in. They were thinking, I'm sleeping so peacefully and nicely in my home. Then the home collapsed on them. No surety in this material world. The only safe position is at Krishna's lotus feet. Prabhupada, he told, he was in the Second World War, he was living in Calcutta. In the Second World War. So that time the Japanese were bombing Calcutta. Although some people said it was the British actually bombing. So just to make bad propaganda against the Japanese. So anyway, the bombs are flying like anything. That's what Prabhupada, the words he used. Prabhupada made a noise. Everyone is calling. Oh, Bhaiza, come into the bomb shelter. He said, no, my wife cooked some kachori. My wife cooked some kachori as an offer to Krishna. Let me take prasad, then I'll come. That is dangerous. He said, anyway, the whole material world is dangerous. He said, if I die, I'll die taking prasad. So Prabhupada's name was Abhayacharam. Fearless of the lotus feet of Krishna. Now the meaning is, if we take shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet, because he's taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, we can also become fearless. So today, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I have surrendered your lotus feet. Tan, man, dham. Body, mind, wealth, everything. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives some very important instruction. Aham mama abhimahan chari lavanai, ajeno mama hujes tan narita. He said, now this idea, I, me and mine, this false ego, I've given it up. Praying that never again will such a false conception enter within my heart. This is the real meaning of surrender. Surrender doesn't mean conditional. That I'm surrendering to Krishna today, but tomorrow I'll surrender to Maya again. Surrender means finished. No going back. No more, give up all attachments. Burn your boats. You know that example that the Greek soldiers, they used to go attacking different islands. So when they would land, they would go boat by boat from island to island to attack. So when they would land on some island, the commander would tell them, no, burn your boats. It means no going back. You have to conquer. No turning away, running away. So this attitude, now give up all your false ideas, surrender to Krishna. Not I'm surrendering to Krishna, I'm also surrendering to my wife and my family and my sense gratification. No, surrender to Krishna means fully. Draupadi, we see the picture, Krishna, Krishna, save me, I'm holding on to her cloth. What is she going to do with this monster, Dushasana? He's much stronger than her. So what can she do but Krishna, two hands, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Then Krishna provided unlimited cloth out of gratefulness to Draupadi, because she had once provided him little cloth. When the need came, Krishna provided her unlimited cloth. Fully surrender first. Imatra Bhara Prabhu Dine Hai Amare Ahamta Mamata Dure Pari Abhibare. So he's praying to Krishna, please give me the strength that I can kick out Maya fully forever. Atmane Vedam Bhav Vide Dhrida Roy Ashti Shkana Samajena Khanik Maha. Again he's saying, this feeling of being fully surrendered, let it be very strongly situated in my heart. He says, I don't want my surrender to you to be like the elephant's baby. I think you know the example. The elephant stands in the river and very carefully, meticulously blows water over every millimeter of his body to get all the dirt removed. So he becomes a very clean elephant. Then he walks back onto the bank of the river and with just as much meticulousness takes the dust and blows it all over his body. So his cleanliness lasted for a few seconds only. So the same way, our Krishna consciousness shouldn't be hasti snanadina, kanikhan, just a few seconds only. Then you don't see them anymore. They're chanting something else. Where is money? Where is sense enjoyment? Different mantras they're chanting. Money, money, money. Oh. So why is that? Because they didn't fully surrender. Not serious. So Atma Niveda means full surrender. That we hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying to Krishna, please give me the strength. Praying for strength doesn't mean you say to Krishna, alright, please give me the strength. And if you don't give me the strength, well, anyway, I can enjoy this material world. I've been enjoying this material world for millions of lifetimes. I'm quite expert at it now. So what's the harm if I go on to another few million lifetimes? That kind of attitude means shorter form. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us Sharanagati. The move of catching hold of Krishna's lotus feet. Catch hold, don't let go. Whatever happens, don't go. We may go through so many difficulties. We may even be humiliated in so many different ways. Krishna consciousness can be painful. Just like when you have a big boil, it's painful. Material life is like a big boil. And when you cut it, it's also very painful. And when all the pus comes out, it's really nasty and dirty and horrible. Then when the pus is out and it's cleaned up, still there's some pain for some time. But then, it's over. And actually boil means your whole system is full of impurities. Mm-hmm. Even after cutting the boil, you have to take the medicine and follow the diet to purify your system. Point is, if you go through the process, you can become purified. Don't be surprised if it's a little painful, difficult, nasty. Because our consciousness is full of so many nasty things. So to bring those out and purify them, we may have to go through so many different things. So we shouldn't be afraid of that. Whatever happens, we should take it as Krishna's mercy. There may be so many difficulties. Physical difficulties, mental difficulties. We may go through so many struggles in our spiritual life. But a surrendered devotee, he's made the decision that now I've surrendered to Krishna. His position is like a sold out animal. An animal who is sold, he doesn't think. Just like a donkey who is sold, he doesn't think of anything, he only has to work for the master. The master may feed him or beat him, whatever. Still, he's the animal belonging to that master. So a devotee is like that, he's sold out to Krishna. But of course, Krishna is the best master. Sometimes people think, why do you want to become a servant of God? Servant is a horrible position. Servant means people are always exploiting you and shouting at you and calling you bad names. But to be a servant of Krishna is not like that. Krishna is the best master. And in the spiritual world, the master is being served by the servant, and he also serves the servant. It's simply a loving exchange. So understanding this, we should fully surrender to Krishna with full confidence that Krishna, he is my real master, he is the real person I should know. No question of that love as long as we are still attached to this I, me and mind consciousness. Bhakti Vinoda Prabhu Nityananda Pai Bhavi Parashad Jahe Abhimana Jahe. Therefore Bhakti Vinoda Thakur is praying at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, begging mercy that this Abhimana, this false ego, will go away forever. So let us practice Krishna consciousness, praying to Krishna that we may become purified.
I don't know, I never read it or heard of it before, so how can I come?
Oh, well, is that the tape? See how you made those tapes?
Gurjana.
Have you done with them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, I can't say I can't heard of it again. Because I heard the tapes being played when I was in London. Anyway, I haven't read it, but I know Gurjana Prabhu. He's a disciple of Prabhupada and a follower of Prabhupada, so I'm sure he's... I mean, you should be able to see that yourself if you're studying it. Is it the same what's in the book or not?
In Russia, we can say it's spirit soul, like spirit in Jesus. In Russia, we can say spirit soul, like spiritual spirit, something like this. In Jesus, the way one word is saying two times.
I can't comment on Russian language. You please ask the translators. Sometimes, at least in English, people think spirit means a ghost.
Очень много говорят, что человек не должен становиться духовным учителем, отцом, матерью, мужем. До тех пор, пока он не способен освободить своих подчиненных из круговорота рождения и смерти. И вопрос в том, что осознаете, как многие преданные становятся грехастами, не можете осознать, они как истинности.
Просто он осознает, они будут не могут.
Да. Ну как вообще в двух случаях? Большинство преданных грехастов.
The question is about this person, Srinivasa Bhagavatam. That one should not become a father, a mother, and he cannot liberate his. And then she just asking, what about devotees? How they should understand this verse and how they can understand this if possible?
It means have children, you have to teach them about Krishna consciousness. You don't think you can do it, don't get married. Good reason to stay brahmacharya. And Prabhupada explained, shouldn't have children like cats and dogs. Cats and dogs also have children. So if you have children, you should have children. Bring them up as devotees. It's a very serious responsibility. It means you have to be very carefully trained. No TV, no common food. Any other questions? All right. We finish up there. Nanda Mata Goswami was a great devotee. She was a princess. That's how I went to Vrindavan. She became very renounced. In the beginning, Guru didn't want to accept her, told her to go back home. Then when he saw that she was very serious, he accepted her. Then later she went to live in Puri. And there are many pastimes described there. She became the guru of the king. She had many disciples of him. I can't remember anything. In some story, Jagannath Temple filled up in Russian. I can't remember. Sorry, I'm not a walking in sacred. Do you have these stories translated in Russian?
No.
Maybe next year I can bring the book and read it in Russian. It'll be very nice. There's a book about this thing. All the stories of the Russian.
I don't know about this book.
It's called Gaur Parishad Charitabhali. Bengali book. So if you want to read it, you have to learn Bengali.
If you want to прочитать, то надо сперва Bengali выучить. Когда божество Джаганнатха после инициативы приходит в дом к домохозяевам, каков мотив Кришны в этом случае? The question is, if deities of Jagannath came by their own desire to the house of the householder, then what Krishna is wanting in this case?
Sounds like a loaded question. Sounds like someone's looking for an answer. How can you know whether Krishna came with his own desire? It sounds to me like someone got some dominant deities and someone told him not to worship, but he wants to worship them and he wants me to give permission. This question came up in Moscow recently at Hare Krishna Maharaj's lecture. So he was saying some people are writing and asking me for permission to worship deities at home. But he said, I always give the same answer, which is the answer Prabhupada gave, that if devotees are living close to the established temple,
we should come to the temple and join in the activities there and not make separate home worship. So, maybe we thought, I don't want to be bothered with all this worship, let me give it to someone else. Sometimes we see that in ESKCON, devotees, out of some sentiment, they buy some deities in the bazaar. And like a kind of game, they do a little worship for some time. Sometimes they think, oh, I'm fed up. Alright, let me give the deities. That's why actually real deity worship means you just can't walk into the bazaar and buy deities. It's all in your home by an acharya, and you're given the permission to worship, again, the right to then you worship. Deity worship is not a game. It's very serious. So, anyway, what are all the different circumstances of this case, I can't say exactly. The general principle is there that before one starts worship at home, he should have installed the deities, but he's installed by the child, at least with permission. So you should ask your own spiritual master to come to the person.
Devotees who gave the deities to her.
Why did they give to her?
They said this is installed deities.
Why did they give to her? And why did they take up the worship and then put it up again? What is that?
Puttakar.
If you take up deity worship, you take it up for life.
He's just asking what she should do.
Well, you heard what Hare Krishna has said. You remember? You know what he said in that lecture? Someone asked the question.
He said the same thing.
He said if they're already installed, and you put them in a box. That's what he said. He didn't have the right to start in the first place. Jai Sri Sri Nitai Gauranga, Sri Sri Gauranga Nitai Ki.
Jai.